ever been there, stuck on the backside of the desert, wondering what God is doing with you and why you're there? We've got all kinds of reasons and all kinds of understandings we could come up with in our own mind, or we can simply go to God's Word and find out exactly what He is doing. We don't have to guess. He's already told us, and He's given us a really good glimpse at what He does when we find ourselves in the desert. Here in Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 through 36. It's a message called A Sabbath in the Wilderness. Pastor Chris Gordon, today on Abounding Grace Radio, gives us a clear understanding of God's designs and intents when we're in the desert. Here's Chris.
Sabbath before Sinai. And the reason for this is because God had rooted this in creation, normative for everyone. At creation, God Himself rested. Remember what Genesis 2:1 said? Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Was God tired? No. He neither faints nor becomes weary. But God taught us all something. He delighted in His work. He enjoyed the work of His hands. The seventh day was a day that then God, after saying, "It's good, it's good, it's good," He sanctified it and He said, "This is the rest with which people are to anticipate and enjoy." One of the most amazing things about creation is that God created us in His image so that we might pattern Him. Now, the end of creation is the glory of God. The resting signifies the fact that His work is completed and He is glorified through it. Sin came. Jesus said, "My Father and I are working until now to complete the project again." The point is, Sabbath was intended to be a major blessing in the wilderness. Listen to the intention in the law that I read this morning in Deuteronomy 5. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. I delivered you. I pulled you out of there. I need you to stop and never forget this. So I'm giving you this rest. I want you to rest so that you would remember you've been delivered from your sin, that you've been delivered from your bondage, that you've been set free from all of your misery, the cruelty of Pharaoh, the tyranny of the devil. It's broken. But you're seeing the problem with the human heart after, right? Sanctification's a mess. So put this together. I know your wilderness life's hard. I know you're all beat up. I know that you're going through major discouragements. I know right now many of you are greatly discouraged about many things. This is the Lord's word to you. I know that. I understand that. So I'm going to provide for you. I know you're going out 6 days and you're working. Think of how this is still our structure. I know you're out there 6 days. In your daily work, in your daily gathering, I'm going to provide. You ask me. You come to me every day. I'll provide for you. Give me this day my daily bread. I'll supply. If a man asks his father for bread, is he going to give him a stone? I'll sustain you, but I want you every seventh day to stop. Now, later on, I'm going to go and explain for you why we do this on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. Some of you are thinking about that, and we'll look at that. I'm not going to do that right in this sermon. But the principle of a work-rest principle is all throughout Scripture. I want you to put aside your wilderness struggles. I know they're real. I want you to step away from it, and I'm going to give you a time to completely reflect upon me and my work for you. I'm going to give you a time to glorify me because I know your mind's race. You can't stay focused on much of anything. You're running around everywhere. I'm going to give you to come and sit, calm you down, without crows. I'm going to give this to you. And I want to send you double food on this day. I'm going to give you double food. For what purpose? I want you to know that I love you. I want you to step away from it all. I want you to be fed with the true bread from heaven. We looked at that last time. I'll provide. I want you always to rest and remember, I delivered you from all of your sins. I brought you out of Egypt. I've loved you. I've delivered you. I'm plundering and I'm going to complete the work. Those whom he justified, he glorified. I want the seventh day always to teach you that an eternal rest is coming when you enter the land. The new heavens and the new earth, that you'll never have to work anymore under the cursed Adam. Now, the Jews' typical Sabbath was observed this way. The Talmud describes the traditional Jewish practice. They viewed the Sabbath, this is what they would call the Sabbath, every time it would arise, they would call it a beautiful bride that would come and be greeted every week with joy. So they would speak of the Sabbath as a she. She's coming. In fact, here's one of their prayers. Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride, radiant and joyous, comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts. Workday thoughts and cares are to be put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath light shines forth to tell that the divine spirit of love abides within our home. In that light, our blessings are enriched and our griefs and trials are softened. They would have Sabbath blessings pronounced in Jewish homes. Four of them. A Sabbath meal was shared, and then they would have prayer services, and they would have a ceremony that then said goodbye to the Sabbath. It was called the Havdalah. Separation. It celebrated nightfall. Yes, they worshipped at night in the Jewish homes, at church. We know this from Psalm 92, where they gathered in the mornings at the tabernacle, and they gathered at night at the tabernacle. Anyone who says that's not biblical is out to lunch on Old Testament worship. Everyone departed and would say, Shavua Tov, a good week to you. The Sabbath was not about rules. It was a festive enjoyment of God. That doesn't sound like a lot of bondage to me, does it? It's a time for the Lord to teach you about gospel. It's a time for the Lord to teach you about freedom, anticipating rest in your wilderness journey, because your discouragements are very real. Who wants to deny that? So what happened? Well, verse 27. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? See, the Lord has given you a Sabbath, a gift. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Look, it was blatant disregard of the commandment. We just don't want to do it. Why? What did the Lord think about this? Some deliberately go out and break the commandment. There's a little ominous phrase there that should really stand out in the text. And they found none. They went to gather. No bread was there. All the people had to do was rely on the Lord to provide. All they had to do was trust the Lord, his love and his provision. All that they had to do was to come and enjoy him. All they had to do was stop working. Think about this. All they had to do was stop working. He wasn't putting a burden on them, was he? Stop working. Stand still. He's been telling us this. I want you to rest. But they went out because they did not trust the Lord to provide. They were not willing to let the word be first. Are we so different? You notice how bothered the Lord is here? This is a test, of course, but it's almost as if he holds the whole community guilty. Look at this. How long will you continue to disregard my commandments? This is what the Psalms record. You're wearying me already with your lawbreaking. You get it there. Why is the Lord so hard? And so, because it's almost as if the whole community is okay with this. No one seemed to care. In our terms, they just didn't want to be so legalistic, right? They didn't want to say anything to the Sabbath breakers. Isn't it something that of all commandments, before the giving of the law, this one is the one the Lord puts the spotlight on? Isn't it? Of all the commandments in the wilderness before Sinai, he takes a giant spotlight and holds it right over the fourth. What has essentially happened today? What is the first thing when we hear you should keep the Sabbath? Immediately we're told we're being legalistic, and so we're programmed to think today that Sabbath and commandments are legalistic. We sort of hang our hats on what the Pharisees did, right? We hang our hats on what the Pharisees, and it becomes a cop-out. A grand excuse that we don't have to because of that Pharisaical problem. What did they do? Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and the disciples were hungry, and so they plucked heads of grain and ate, and immediately the Pharisees charged them with breaking the Sabbath. You know, Jeremiah 17, if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, I'll kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortress. Boy, they took that and ran with it. And the Pharisees did what? Well, they said no one's able to carry a load then on the Sabbath. For instance, the Pharisees compiled entire books of laws, and 30 different categories of work were prohibited on the Sabbath. One of them explicitly said that one is not to travel on the Sabbath. When you explore what they meant by that, when you look at the Jewish writings on that, which was such a distance from what I read about the celebration of its intention a minute ago. One of their laws said the Sabbath forbids work. Fair enough statement, Sabbath forbids work. What did they mean by that? The laws against the Sabbath went something like this, and I quote Boyce here. A man's out walking. He spits. Does that work? Well, it depends on what happens to the spit. If it goes into the dirt and kind of rolls, that's plowing. I'm not kidding. If it hits a rock and breaks up, it's not work. Careful, you're spit today. Now I emphasize to show what we do to God's commands. See what we just did to God's commandment? That wasn't the intention of the Sabbath. So we either do that or we cast it off completely. That's why antinomians and legalists are two sides of the same coin. I immediately get from people questions about the Sabbath, and they say, well, what can be done on the Sabbath? And when I get those questions, I just refuse to answer. I don't want to do that to the Sabbath. Is it a list of do's and don'ts? You've already lost it. Let me ask you a different question. First, who's first in your life? Who are you serving? Let me illustrate. What is before us? Many went out on the Sabbath in complete disregard from it, and we read, those who went out found none. What did it expose? You know the human heart. You know the human heart. They were all trying to get ahead. It was greed. They wanted to store up more for themselves. They were planning, always planning, always planning, always planning. This is the human heart. We're always about getting ahead, being successful, taking more, 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 more. Here's my question. Are people happy today? You've seen a wholesale abandonment in your day, and many of you in the older generation have seen this, abandonment of people walking away from worship and the church being dumped right in front of you. Churches are empty. You don't have very many Eric Liddells anymore who won't run on the Olympic for the sake of the Sabbath. That's craziness, isn't it? You know, for all the gadgets and all the comfortability and all the tools that we have, just go to Lowe's. You ever stopped and asked why everyone is as tired and busy as they are? We never seem to have enough time for anything. We're running around everywhere. We're just always on the run. And what is our complaint? Oh, I'm just so busy. If I say that, just slap me. I know I say it at times. You know one of the characteristics of being in bondage? There's no peace or rest for the wicked. Could it be that our busyness indicates we're really reaching back toward Egypt? Could it? It's pretty evident when we're looking back, isn't it? Might I suggest that we're living in the age of the greatest amount of depression, anxiety, stress, problems, medicines? It's because everyone is frantically running around sports and nobody's resting. And I'm not talking about just getting a nap. Have we no time to enjoy the Lord anymore on the day that He has made for us? Even from a natural law perspective, I think it was Russia years ago tampered with the workday and they made a continuous work week with disastrous results. Isn't there a reason everyone's not happy? Burned out and dissatisfied, never having enough, always wanting more. Is it not because there is serious disobedience when it comes to exactly what God was teaching Israel in the wilderness about honoring the Sabbath? Taking a day to rest in Him. Meditate on your deliverance. Be fed with the bread of heaven. Be fed with the gospel. Look at the people who value worship. Look at the people who love to be in worship. Look at the people who look at the Sabbath as a delight. I'm going to show you some of the most productive people I've ever met. Loving God's house for worship. Why? Because they've learned to go in His strength. That's what this is all about. People today have essentially said, well, we just need less of the Lord today. And what are they doing with their time when God's people meet? Who knows? My guess is watching TV. It's a school day tomorrow. I'm tired. Got a big work week ahead of me. Well, then you should be here with the true rest you need. I have a hard time pounding on this. I do. I have such a hard time pounding on this because it should not be. But how else do you do it? Let's be clear what's going on. You're really trying to rest from the Lord. He's become a burden to you. The Sabbath is the greatest test in Scripture as to where you are spiritually. It's a commandment that tests and exposes and shows your heart. That's why it's held out this high. God is saying that before the law, He'll provide for you the true bread from heaven. Before He even gave this command for Israel, because He knew what people would say, it's just for Israel. Jesus and His disciples worshiped on the Lord's Day, and they loved being there. It's a free gift, and in the busyness of wilderness life, He wants you to rest in Him. So what then do we conclude about the Sabbath? It's one of the most blessed gifts that God has given to you in your wilderness struggle. But it's going to take a lot of opening of the Spirit's eye, your eyes by the Spirit, for you to see it and appreciate it. Because ultimately what it's doing for you is as you come in simplicity, worshiping the Lord, resting in His promises, He is sustaining you until you get to the border of the promised land, until you come to your dying day, and then you get to see the bread from heaven with your eyes when you're raised. Don't consider it a legalistic thing of rules, but a way of freedom to rest and love Christ more, to feed on Him. It's designed to satisfy your hunger. It's designed to fill your hunger and thirst with what is most important, anticipating the day when you're going to enter into glory and no longer need all of this. You'll be with Him face to face. You know what Isaiah 50 8 says, if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, trying to imagine putting that in legalistic terms, call it a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. See, it's a test of dependency. You or God. Listen to this. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Listen, I don't know what it's going to be like to ride on the high hills of the earth, but I want to do it. That's one of the most beautiful things stated in Scripture. When we delight in the Sabbath, the Lord is going to cause me to ride on the high hills of the earth. Those who willfully neglect this day that the Lord has given us are saying to the Lord, I still really want Egypt, Lord. I really want Egypt. To dishonor it is to work for Pharaoh. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I've set you free from the tyranny of that devil. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and heavy laden. What am I going to do for you, said Christ? I'm going to give you rest. Rest. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not making your life hard. I'm wanting to feed you and help you in your struggle. Therefore, there remains, says Hebrews, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Don't reject his rest. Until we're home, you're in the wilderness. May you never neglect what the Lord has given you to feed you with the true bread from heaven. I pray you treasure it today. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us rest. Thank you for training us to long for what's ahead. Thank you for sustaining us in all of our afflictions, trials, distresses. Would you remove this terrible thought that says, if we're tired, we need to stay away from you? I don't know where that came from. It came from the devil. Please take it away. And give us hearts that sincerely love you, love to worship you, love to fear you, love to be fed with bread that helps us. We just need ultimately a confidence in your word. We either believe these things or we don't. That's what this comes down to today. So give us faith, sanctification by faith. And thank you for giving us a rest where we rest in the promises of Christ and his gospel, anticipating the eternal rest when we will be, Lord Jesus, with you face to face in this land that you've prepared, this glory that you've set out for us. We bless the name of the Lord today for giving us rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rest, such a beautiful thing, and yet we are so driven to try and avoid it at all costs. Oh, the world in which we live in, right? Oh, that we recapture this amazing rest God holds out for us. Not just a rest one day in seven, but an eternal rest in Him. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org if you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.